Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. This is Karen Miles, and this is my dear friend, Jolene Brightson Treadway. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, so-so. We're just smelling the smoke from the Dismal Swamp and the rain at the same time.
I can only imagine the combination of that smell.
Yeah, it's not too pleasant. We're not supposed to, people really aren't supposed to be outside unless they have to because it gets in the lungs and things.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll, and they said before the month is over.
Well, hopefully they'll get it taken care of and they'll get that fire put out soon and everything
yeah.
will get back to normal.
That's right.
So I guess we have a really good, interesting subject that we're going to discuss this evening. Skinwalkers, shapeshifters and how they play into legends and so forth. And we're honored to have Robert Treadway, your son, coming on. So it's going to be great. Yeah. So you ready to bring him on there and get started?
I'm more than ready. You take the honors and bring him on.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. All right.
Hi, Robert. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Doing pretty good. So, I noticed that just a few days ago, you were talking to me and brought up the topic about skinwalkers, and I've done a little bit of reading on it, and I find them quite interesting, but from what I understand, you know quite a bit about it.
There's a limited amount of knowledge on skinwalkers because the Navajo, well, first of all, Navajo aren't the only group of people that have stories of shapeshifters, skinwalkers, but Navajo are the most, probably the most well-known and most well-diverse population of people who have these stories. But the legend of skinwalkers and shapeshifters goes back for at least thousands of years. Well back before biblical time. And a lot of these, I think a lot of these legends, modern people today just blow off as just being figments of our imagination or possibly ancient people who were on hallucinogens. But I really don't think that they were lying. I think they were actually seeing these things. And the idea of skinwalkers actually dates back some time and goes far back into before biblical times. And a lot of it actually goes back to the ancient alien theory, but that's kind of a story for another time. Skinwalkers, their legends are very shrouded in mystery. There's not a lot known about them. And the best documented beliefs are those that relate to Navajo. And it's a hard word to pronounce, but the Navajo word for skinwalker means he who goes on all fours. It's in Navajo language. It's a very hard word to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of several varieties of the Navajo witch, or what most people would call a brojo. And they are people who kind of broke the barrier of a cultural taboo. Like, a witch in that way is both a man and a woman who can become an animal or any animal they choose. But most times they most frequently come up as coyotes, wolves, owls, fox, sometimes crows, and sometimes other animals. But most commonly it's coyote and wolf. And it's kind of a hard subject to describe because, like I said, it's so much of it is shrouded in mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people today have skinwalker sightings, even they still continue to pop up today, mostly in the Utah area. And I actually have a friend who had a run-in with a skinwalker. Most people who have encounters won't talk about it as much, or they feel emotionally traumatized by the experience, and most are not messed up for the rest of their life, but they're different because it's definitely changed them. My friend Tylan has scars on her arm where she was attacked, and the only way to tell a skinwalker from a regular animal is when they're in human form, their eyes glow the way an animal's would, but when they're in animal form, their eyes don't glow the way they should be glowing in animal form, but they do glow in human form, and that's the only way you can really tell. But in ancient Navajo culture, it was considered an act of pure evil to seduce a family member and thus gain evil powers that are associated with skinwalkers. Now, most Navajo will protect skinwalkers, but they're not very well looked upon by the rest of the people, even though they are protected. But that's how most Native American tribes are. They won't even, I guess in a way, they're social outcasts. They won't even give them away or turn them away, because I guess it's a secret that they really don't want to get out to the public. And as I said before, a lot of legends and stuff have been withheld by the Navajo people. And if you were to ask one today, they would probably tell you that it's not their place or that to tell you, or that it's not your place to ask them. They're not very open on the subject. But the only way that somebody can turn into a skinwalker is they have to have the pelt of the animal that they're going to turn into. Now, skinwalkers, usually the ages of skinwalkers vary. It doesn't matter male or female. Most are female. There are some males, but most of them are females. And the ages are hard because skinwalkers seem to age a little bit slower than your average human being. But that still goes to the debate on if they even exist. Now, many people, including my dad, have said they've had encounters with both skinwalkers and shapeshifters, which are, in fact, in historical documents, are two different creatures. A shapeshifter and a skinwalker are not the same, because a shapeshifter can turn into anything it wants. A skinwalker has one specific creature that it turns into.
Okay.
And,
I was just saying, okay, because I thought that there were similarities between the two, so that's why.
They are very, very closely related and very similar, but not quite. But they are very similar and often confused as being one and the same.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think some of the reasons why the Navajo decide to not talk about it, or they're hesitant to talk about it, is because maybe they're fearful. Because I think in some cases they may not know who the person is, but they're aware of what they're capable of doing. So maybe that is one of the reasons why they don't really discuss a skinwalker that often.
That's true. The only time Native Americans are the only people documented to be able to turn into a skinwalker or be a skinwalker, whereas shapeshifters, there are accounts all across the world and all through time of shapeshifters, which, as I said before, that dates back to the ancient astronaut theory, but that's definitely a story for another time. That would take far too much explaining.
Right.
It's usually pelt of animals such as bears, coyotes, cougars, wolves, mostly wolves, sometimes even sheepskin or buckskin. And the two latter, the buckskin and the sheepskin, are usually only used for ceremonial purposes. But if you're sitting at a campfire with Navajos or Native Americans at night, they won't even speak of skinwalkers. It's kind of something that's not supposed to be spoken about, because a skinwalker kind of has a sixth sense about that. They can tell when they're being mentioned or brought up in Navajo culture, talking about a skinwalker is the same as asking to be attacked. There are a lot of reports where people would be talking about a skinwalker, and then they've been known to break into houses and break into cars and sheds and kill livestock. Navajo is gross about their encounter, but there is a lot of hesitancy to reveal the story.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably, though, I mean, to talk about such frightening things at night, sometimes the skinwalker will try to break into the house or attack the people inside. Sometimes it'll just bang on the walls or knock on windows and climb on roofs. Or sometimes a strange animal-like figure can be seen standing outside of a window or peering in. And they've even been known to attack cars and cause car accidents. My friend Tylen, who just moved back to Utah, said that a lot of the Utah sightings are, in fact, car accidents. Most are car accidents. They run across the road a lot. And you won't find any videos on YouTube. I think there was one video on YouTube, but it's a really dark video, and I don't think that it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look it up and show you so you can see for yourself, but there's not much to see in the video.
Okay.
Skinwalker has been on the TV show Supernatural. It's been on Discovery. Have you seen the show Lost Tapes? It's been on that.
No, I haven't watched that. While you were talking and describing the skinwalker, I also found that, in this case, that Bigfoot is kind of included into that as far as a skinwalker.
Yes. I can see how that's possible. Bigfoot, Wendigo, skinwalkers, a lot of those are North American and Native American legends. A lot of the Ute tribes speak of the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot. The woods of northern Michigan and northern Colorado talk about the Wendigo, and the Wendigo is an evil spirit of the forest. But back to the ancient alien theory of these, most Native Americans believe that, as for my father's tribe, the Fallen Star people, and a lot of Native American tribes believe that they came from the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they have cave drawings and writings of seeing these creatures, and a lot of people think that they're just trying to interpret something that confused them, or misidentified animal, something they saw that at night that was playing with their mind, and maybe that simply may not be the case. They may actually have seen these things.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there are extraterrestrial legends all over the world that talk about hybrids of animal and man, which goes back to skinwalkers, and about how maybe at one point extraterrestrials were playing with our DNA and genetically altering our DNA to mix us with animals. And you see that also in a lot of Egyptian and Cambodian Aztecs, for one, the Aztec, the jaguar priest, and the serpent. There are a lot of legends in the Mayans, Aztecs, the Zuni, Hopi, Navajo, that all talk about human-animal hybrids, and I don't think that they were merely being superstitious, and I don't think their eyes were playing tricks on them. I think they were actually seeing these things.
Right.
When they talk about Bigfoot, I wholeheartedly believe in Bigfoot because there's so much evidence that has pointed towards his existence. They found DNA. You can watch History Channel. They found DNA of a human ape creature, but in between the human and ape genes, they found a gene that they cannot identify with any animal on this planet.
Oh, wow.
And which, to me, is more than enough evidence. And the Wendigo, I grew up in the Wendigo legend. My mom told it to me growing up. And though I've never ever seen one myself, I fully believe in it. And skinwalkers, I know people who have had run-ins with them. I've never had an encounter myself because I'm not in the right area. But I think a lot of these ancient people, I think they were actually seeing these things. And I think today, the skinwalkers that are left over is now being inherited by children of people who have been skinwalkers. And I think now, before, it may have been something that had been messed with our genes, a biological alteration of our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now that it's just being inherited from generation to generation to generation, and it's so widely spread now that there's no way we could really ever track it down. And there have been reports of skinwalkers that have been shot, hunted, or killed, but most reports report unsuccessful attempts because they can simply just change into an animal and disappear, where you can see a man's tracks, and then in front of him is a wolf's tracks. And how are you supposed to track a wolf and a man? So it breeds a lot of difficulty when it comes to the tribes. And I think, I'm sure a lot of Navajo reservation, the reservation police, I'm sure that they try to stay on top of everything. But I think it's more of not as much trying to find out if they're real when it comes to the reservations as it is trying to keep it contained.
Right. You know,
and with,
I was going to say, where we were discussing about, you know, with them, when their connection with Bigfoot, it kind of hit me. What if, you know, this is just a hypothetical question on this, but what if Bigfoot is an actual skinwalker, and that is the reason why that when people go into the woods to look for them, they're not able to find them. There's no sign of them other than their footprints or the fur or what have you. But other than that, they're not noticeable in the mountains because you just, you know, maybe they're at home with their families, you know, because they're their skinwalker and they change when they want to change and go out.
And that's totally possible. I never actually thought of that theory, but it makes a lot of sense, and it's totally possible, and that could be why we've never found any conclusive Bigfoot evidence or any physical evidence. That could be exactly why we have footprints and we have fur, but we don't have a body.
Right.
And I think until we have a body, modern science will continue to belittle those theories, and most scientists are complete skeptics. They won't believe anything they haven't seen, and which I understand. I'm more scientific-minded than I am superstitious, so I understand where they're coming from. But I think a lot of these ancient people did see these things and continue to see these things. And that even goes for the Mothman theory. Maybe Mothman is another skinwalker.
That's totally possible. The skinwalker, just a different form. And, you know, that makes perfect sense because, you know, we don't see these. You know, we don't see them every day, you know, and there's, you know, I have never seen a Bigfoot. I've never seen Mothman, which that's one that I don't want to see, but, you know, I've never experienced any of that. But if there's a possibility, it's because of a skinwalker, you know, it's something that should be thought about.
Yes, I think on Bigfoot's part, I'm one that would vote in on leaving Bigfoot alone. He hasn't hurt anybody. As far as I know, there have been a few incidents where he's injured somebody, but that's from being attacked. I think if we were to leave these creatures alone and stop looking for them, they might just show themselves eventually once they realize that they don't have anything else to fear and that we've just given up. But modern man is not going to give up. I don't think that skinwalkers should be hunted down.
No.
Because they haven't, as far as I've seen, they haven't killed anybody. They have hurt people, but they really do stay contained. I've never seen any very vicious reports. I did hear reports of my friend Tylen, who lives in Utah now, told me that there are a few things they do not like light. If you're standing around light, they'll back up into the shadows, or if you have a flashlight and you shine it in their eyes, they'll duck out of the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just really want to be left alone, because skinwalkers, these people probably feel like they're outcasts of society. They're not normal. They can change, but it doesn't necessarily make them evil.
Right.
So I don't think that they should be hunted down and killed like people would like to do to Bigfoot. And there are plenty of Bigfoot stories across the United States. There's one in Florida they call the Swamp Ape. They have Sasquatch. And that's another thing, is there are Sasquatch sightings all over the world. If this thing doesn't exist, then why are so many people seeing them? Millions of sightings a year.
Exactly.
And if they're not real, then how are millions of people across the world seeing them? I mean, you have the Tibetan abominable snowman, which is just, a Bigfoot in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mountain region. And then you have them in the swamps, and you have, there's a couple of legends in Kentucky, the Kentucky Hillbilly Monster, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the Honey Island Swamp Monster, is another Bigfoot legend. There's a couple in California. I believe recently there was one in the mountains. And like I said, if people are seeing these all across the world for millions of years, and not just modern times, but in ancient times too. In ancient times, people reported seeing these things. And you're talking about millions and millions of years and millions of sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we just say that it's a figment of these people's imagination? Not that many people cannot imagine something like that by the millions. The whole world does not have, not everybody in this world has such a definitive imagination. So I don't think that people are just hallucinating, or I don't think these people are crazy. I think they actually are seeing these creatures. Skinwalkers, I wholeheartedly believe in because of my Native American culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I study everything about the world. Even Egyptian, Sumerian, Cambodian, Mayan, Aztec, all of these, there are plenty of cultures all around the world that not only have reports seeing the same creatures, but also they all report seeing a lot of the same things. And that also goes back to why all these cultures all build the same and similar structures, like pyramids. And I think it all stems back to one subject, and I've noticed this as I've studied different subjects. I've noticed that it all trails back to one particular subject, and that's the ancient alien theory. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to see if I can disconnect the dots, and maybe they're not connected, but everything that I've studied so far, I keep finding connections in every little crevice that I look in. I've studied the lost civilizations of Atlantis. I've studied Bigfoot. I've studied skinwalkers. I've studied Egyptian mythology, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, Aztec and Mayan mythology. I've studied Colombian or Cambodian and early pre-Columbian mythology. I've studied all these cultures, but everywhere I look, I keep seeing connections. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing something that goes back to one single influence and one source. So I think that's where it all comes from, and I think that's where we need to look.
I agree.
One book you might find interesting that definitely does, that sheds light on the topic, it's a book by Graham Hancock, and it's called Fingerprint of the Gods. And I actually have a video by Graham Hancock on, it's on YouTube, I was watching it, and it's a 14-part video, and if you watch that, you'll find connections. If you watch Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, they'll show you the connections. And like I said, the Egyptians and all these cultures showed human-animal hybrids, and they said that these human-animal hybrids were products of their star brothers or their space brothers. And all these different cultures all said the same thing. The Egyptians called them star brothers or space brothers. Native Americans called them the same thing. Native Americans called these lights in the sky they saw, they called them the light ships.
Mm-hmm.
And the light ships were protected by the star brothers or the star people.
No, I'll tell you something kind of interesting. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had watched a video a few days ago about it's a 900-year-old skull, and it's called the Star Child. So they did DNA testing on it, and they found that there was human DNA and there was also alien DNA. The skull is shaped different. It's not shaped like a human skull would be. It's
elongated,
smaller,
isn't it?
Flatter. Yes. And,
it's an elongated cranium that looks alien in origin, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There are different cultures around the world. Some African cultures will wrap certain things around the head of the infant when they're very young. Mm-hmm. That way it causes, instead of the skull growing outward like it should, like your skull and my skull look normal, these skulls have been modified to look elongated. And the reason for this is they're not mocking somebody, but they're trying to look like these gods that gave them all this wisdom and knowledge and technology. And because to look at structures like the pyramids and look at structures like the Temple of Angkor Wat, and you wonder how. Mm-hmm. How did these ancient civilizations that were separated by thousands of miles and thousands of years all build the same things? And then you wonder, how though? How do they do this?
Exactly.
Because they didn't have any of the modern machines that we have today. And some of the structures that I've seen, if you look up Pumupunku and Tiahuanaco and Machu Picchu, you look these up and you look at the structures and you'll say, how? If we can't do that today, how did they do it back then? Because some of these structures, some of these stones, megalithic stones, are massive in size. They make houses look tiny. They make cars. To us, cars are big, but to these megalithic stones, these we're nothing because these some of these stones weighed in excess of 200,000 tons. 200,000 tons. Today we have trouble. And some of these rocks, these stones that are cut, are perfect. They're
exactly.
So perfect. If you run your finger across them, you can actually cut your finger. And some of them are, these stones are put so well together, you can't even fit a piece of paper in between them. And you wonder, if we can't do this today, how did they know how to do this back then? And then you think about the Nazca lines. The Nazca lines are made to be, they are designed to be seen from the sky, because if you're standing on the ground looking at them, they look like just, they look like regular random lines of dirt, random lines that have been dug into the ground. And it's perfect. The land, the way the land is, it's perfect for, it's like a canvas.
Where, exactly.
Whoever found the lines of Nazca definitely knew what to do, because there are pictures of, first of all, there's a picture of a man that looks like he's wearing a space outfit, and he's pointing for the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like saying, hey, we were here. And another, I think another encouraging thought is that the only way that this theory can be disproven is if they were to land here tomorrow and say we were never here in the past. And another one that I was just watching earlier on this show was the Great Sphinx. And it's believed now that the Great Sphinx, underneath the paws of the Great Sphinx, and the whole idea of the Great Sphinx is genius and its origin. First of all, in the summer solstice, when the sun comes up over the horizon, the Great Sphinx is directly aligned with the constellation of Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Directly. And most people believe that there are a lot of beliefs now that underneath the paws of the Great Sphinx is a gold repository called the Hall of Records. And they're working right now to unearth all of this, but it also, there are also legends, I'm sure you know of the legend of El Dorado, the lost golden city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
El Dorado is believed to be the resting place of the lost crystal skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And these crystal skulls are so perfectly, they look just like skulls. They are so perfectly made that there is no way that they were made by machine or by man's, or by the hands of man. There is no way they were made by machine or by man. They look as though they were grown.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal being grown, and they're so perfectly shaped and perfectly symmetrical that they look like they're built to hold knowledge. These crystal skulls are computers. They're data storage banks. And the question is, what would happen if we got all of the skulls together? We don't know that. It could be bad, it could be good, but we don't know what's going to happen. And another thing with the Mayans, people are flipping out about 2012. There's really nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
Because the Mayans did not say in 2012 the world would come to an end. The Mayans said that on December 21st in the year 2012, they said our gods will return from the stars in
mm-hmm.
all of their glory and majesty.
Exactly. I had someone ask about Flat Top Mountains, and I'm not real familiar with the Flat Top Mountains, but Jeannie was asking about those. What about the Flat Top Mountains? Who created it? Where is the leftover dirt? So I don't know if you know anything about that or not, but I was searching for it while you were talking to see if I could find any information on those.
The Flat Top Mountains in Peru, they look as though they were built as giant runways.
Oh.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The Flat Top Mountains, they look like they were built as runways. They're in Peru. and they look, there are plenty of, I can upload pictures and show them to you. There are plenty of pictures that depict spaceports that show spaceships coming in and out of these places and ancient texts. And there are plenty of ancient Hindu Sanskrits that describe giant flying cities in the sky. People try to interpret them as being heaven, or people describe, there are plenty of stories in the Bible that describe giant ladders coming down from heaven and giant beams of light. People want to describe it as heaven, and they want to describe these extraterrestrial angels and gods. But what if it's a lot more simple? What if it actually is what it sounds like? A giant flying city in the sky, to most people, sounds like a large mothership. And a ladder coming down from space sounds like some sort of gravity beam that's taking someone up when is it Noah? No. It was I'm not very familiar with the Bible. I can't believe I forgot the story of Moses. There we go. Moses in the Bible describes seeing the earth from space at a time when people at a time when people knew the earth was flat. Everybody thought the earth was flat at that time. He described seeing the earth in space, and he said, "I saw the earth, the stars, and all of her roundness and glory."
You know, I never thought about that, but you know, there's always a possibility, because it's an American Indian culture. When you go back, it's always referred to, you know, the star people, the star children, and the skull that we were discussing earlier. You know, they can't explain what the DNA is that they found. They know some of it's human. They do know that much, but there's nothing in any of our stuff that says, hey, this is DNA. I mean, that it's human DNA or it's anything from here.
My phone just died.
Are you there, Jolene?
I'm here. He can take it here.
My phone just died. I'm sorry. My phone just died.
That's okay. I was sitting here talking, and all of a sudden, nothing.
I knew it was getting
dropped.
Ready to. I was just hooking up my charger when it died.
Oh, wow.
But, what were we saying?
I was talking about the skull, the star child skull, and how they, you know, they did the DNA, and they're just stumped with the idea that they have, well, it's not an idea, it's a fact, that some of the DNA is human, and some of the DNA isn't. And there's nothing that they have seen that connects it to anything here. To any of us, the only thing they could say is that it's alien, and they were talking about how
very
they knew
possible.
It was a strange thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next week you could do a show that would be specifically for the subject. But recently, SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
It's a NASA program. They received a transmission, or they found a message encoded in binary code, which is 00101001, that kind of code.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were able to finally, when they were finally decoded, the message read, "Exploration of humanity continuous for planetary advancement." And they said the message did not originate on this planet.
Oh, wow.
They've already done the research. They've already done tracking. They said it did not originate on this planet, but that is exactly what it said. Exploration of humanity continuous for planetary advancement.
You know, that's very interesting that they were able to decode that and get the message from it. And let me guess, it's a few hundred years old. It's not a few thousand-year-old code, correct?
They don't know the age of it. It, as far as they know and as far as I've read, it seems to be very recent.
Recent. Oh, okay. All right, I did not know that.
Which I think what Native Americans and early people believe to be our star brothers, I believe in the Mayans predicted their return. They did not predict the end of the world. They predicted a new way of thinking. They said that they didn't say it would be the end of the world. They said it would be at the end of civilization as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't spell the end of the world. They said as we know it, which means it could be a change in the way we think and a change in the way we live. And if we were to make extraterrestrial contact, that would forever change our way of thinking on this planet, because it would no longer be just Earth out
right.
out here alone in the universe. It would be a lot more than that. We would know for a fact that we are not alone and that somebody else is out there with us, and now we've made contact, and we would gain so many technological advancements, and imagine the medicine and healing people. We might even be able to heal cancer. There are so many things that we can do, so many possibilities if we were to make extraterrestrial contact that we could gain from that. And I don't think if they came to this planet, I don't think that they would come here to be hostile. I don't think they would come here to destroy us or hurt us or turn us into slaves. I think they would be coming here to check up on us and to say, hey, we left you here a long time ago. We decided to see how you've progressed as a race. And I would think in some ways they'd be very disappointed in us, but we have come very far in technology, and I think they would be very pleased with that too, but disappointed in us because we took the tools they gave us a long time ago and we've used it for nothing but war.
That's true.
To a superior alien race would seem very primitive. They would say, why? Why did you take all these medical advancements and turn them into weapons?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they would come here to harm us, and I think eventually we will make contact. But when it comes back to with skinwalkers, I think that's just what it is these people, early people, were biologically altered, and then hereditary, it just kind of, people started inheriting these traits or these abilities, and as it passed down through generation and generation, then it became quite common. And in Utah, sightings of skinwalkers, even my friend Tylen told me, sightings of skinwalkers are very common. It's a very common subject in Utah, not one that people like to talk about, but it's one that comes up almost on a daily basis because there's so many people that make trips out to Utah just to go hunting for these skinwalkers. And I think a lot of people are met with unsuccessful attempts,
mm-hmm.
and I think they just need to leave them alone and accept the existence of these things like Bigfoot and skinwalkers and Wendigo or swamp ape or anything you can think of, the Mothman. I think what we need to do is accept the existence of these things and then continue to live, because if we live and let live, they're most likely going to do the same thing. Mothman, I don't think anybody needs to be afraid of him. He seems to warn people for disasters. He's always around before a disaster happens. I think it's more of a warning than it is. I don't think he's causing disasters. I think he's warning us of them,
mm-hmm.
and we need to listen. Bigfoot doesn't seem like he wants to hurt anybody, or these creatures don't want to hurt anybody. They just want to be left alone.
Exactly, I agree with you.
But I think my mom would like to talk now, and I'm gonna get a shower.
Okay.
So
well,
it was nice talking to you. It was amazing. Maybe you can do another show sometime, and we can continue talking on the ancient alien theory. I don't know if there's any way you can get a hold of any of the researchers or scientists on the subject. If you go to legendarytimes.com, Giorgio Tsoukalos is currently the editor-in-chief of Legendary Times. he would be the one person to get a hold of, and he's one of my personal heroes. I admire everything the man does and respect him to the fullest, and when he speaks, you can hear his intelligence, and he has such a wide array of information that just listening to him talk and watching him on Ancient Aliens, he's on the show, it's amazing to hear him speak. So if you have any way of getting a hold of him, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to help, because he loves doing lectures and seminars and that type of stuff. He's a professor. Also, another person you might try to get a hold of is Eric Von Daniken.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a writer. He wrote Chariots of the Gods and several other books that are on the ancient alien theory. So those would be the people you would definitely want to get a hold of if you can. I know they're very busy people, but I think if you might even have to schedule it, I think they would probably put some time aside to talk to you.
Okay, that'll be great, and I'll definitely check into it. Later, when you get the chance, if you don't mind, send those to me in email, the names.
I can jump on real quick before I get a shower and send you an email. I can send it on Facebook. Send you a Facebook message.
Okay, sounds good. And I appreciate you coming on, because this was such an interesting topic. And
I enjoyed it.
I did too. So we'll definitely bring it back up and continue it at a later date. So
I'll look forward to it.
Me too.
All right, here's my mother. I'm sure she'd like to speak on it now too.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
Here she is. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello, Jolene.
Hi.
He brings up some interesting information on the skinwalkers and Bigfoot, and it did make me think while he was talking about Bigfoot and skinwalkers, and, you know, it just kind of dawned on me. It's like, well, what if Bigfoot is a skinwalker?
Exactly.
So, that's
you and I, you know, have always had Mothman in common. We've never stopped talking about Mothman, but somehow in my heart, I don't think Mothman is a skinwalker.
No.
You know.
No, I think you're probably right. I think that he's a spirit that's never walked as a human or an animal.
Right.
And that's what that's about. We do have somebody that's online. I don't know if they're just calling in to listen or if they have something to say, so we're going to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello?
Well,
hi. How are you this evening?
Huh? What?
How are you this evening? Were you calling in to ask a question on the show?
Hello?
Hello?
You're on air.
I am.
What is your name?
Why would you know my name?
Well, you called into the radio show. We usually ask what your first name is if you're going to ask a question to the show. Okay. I just ended that call because I don't know if they're just listening or what. But anyway. yeah. Oh, well. Might have cut off guard. She probably wasn't expecting to be answered. But anyway, there are a couple of things that I want to bring up that doesn't have anything to do with what we were discussing earlier.
Okay.
There is an issue on Pine Ridge Reservation right now that's pretty it's really bad situation. There is a man by the name of Dwayne Martin, Jr. He is a traditional I don't want to say elder, but he is a traditional native. He has had some issues with the council. He was to go to court. First, he was removed. He was told he had to leave because he was trying to help the elders there that are traditional elders that have been having a lot of issue with some of the non-traditional and mixed bloods. Well, he had been arrested because he was standing up for the rights of these elders. And he spent a little bit of time in jail. I think it was something like 3-4 weeks, something like that. So he finally was released. He was given another court date, which was May 11th. During this time, he was told that he could not come on to the reservation. He could not go into his home. They boarded up the windows in his home. And within a day or two of them doing all this, someone broke into his home and stole a lot of his stuff. And he's an activist, and they stole his paperwork. So his May 11th court date came. He went to court. They had put it up that he was to not – well, they had it up that there was no court that day, and they had a sign on the door. Well, he documented this. They have since put out a warrant for his arrest. After they had the courthouse closed for that day, they still put out an arrest warrant for him. So if anybody knows of anything that could be done to help with this, please email and let us know. So that way we can get that information back to the right people so they can help him. Because without his help, there's going to be a lot of injustice.
You said that he was an activist. Is he with AIM?
Yes.
Okay.
Not AIM. I take that back. It's Strong Heart Warrior Society that he's with.
Okay. That Robert's father belongs to the Strong Heart Warrior Society.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he does. I just, you know, I never repeat what he says unless he gives me permission. But oh well, I'm just, you know, that he belongs to that. He has since he was a young boy. But the one thing I could help with is that here where I live in Virginia, we have quite a few American Indian attorneys. If you want to give him my number, I will be more than happy to give him the number of the attorney who has represented every Native here in this area.
Okay.
And that will, you know, help some. He's a perfectionist when it comes to Indian law. He has represented a trading post owners in this area. He's represented my brother. He has represented most natives here, and he knows his Indian law inside and out. And I talked to him on the phone not too long ago, and he got a kick out of it because he said when he saw my son one day, he couldn't believe how big Robert had gotten. Well, we went back to the past where, you know, we all stuck together and he was our attorney. So he would be great to help this gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll definitely get you that information after the show and get it to you.
Okay.
But I wanted to get that out there so everybody knew. So, but I guess we can go back to what we were discussing. And I'm just amazed at how much he knew. I knew he knew, but it amazes me to hear him when he talks.
I just stand and I be quiet. And for all anybody who's listening, Mama stands and Mama stays quiet. He does know. He has studied, like he says, Giorgio Tsoukalos is an amazing man. I have watched him myself just to speak and hear his voice. He is, you know, incredible. And when you all were talking about skinwalkers, you know, there is a right along with the skinwalkers and shapeshifters is what the Native Americans call the bear walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is another entity here on this planet, strictly, you know, in our American Indian
as people call it, mythology, but it is not mythology. It's very true. And I was going to share that because I reminded Robert, but I guess, you know, he kind of forgot because he knows, he studies, and his knowledge comes just from being around his dad and everything, you know, that he listens and learns, and I stay quiet. And but you know, the bear walker is another one like the skinwalker, and it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
now you'll have to tell me about that, about the bear walker, because I'm not familiar with that one. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just saying that I'm not, you know, I'm not familiar with the bear walker.
Oh,
but
no.
If you want to explain, I mean, you can tell everybody what it is.
If that's up to you, you know, I was just going to, you know, share, because the bear walker falls right into the skinwalker. You know, the bear walker, it comes from further northern, up northern into Michigan. Actually, it's a Chippewa entity that the Chippewa tribe deals with in legend, and also, you know, with seeing it, you know, with sight. And bear walkers, usually, you know, they gain power of shift shaping, but because they have the ability to almost always become a bear, and also, believe this or not, this is amazing, they have the ability to become an owl. And you know, you think of an owl at night, you know, and then when you hear an owl, you know, it makes you think again, you know. You can spot a bear walker, you know, just by the way they walk, because they've got this certain kind of magic that's almost a fire. It shows sparks of a flame, and anyone who gets close to a bear walker and tries to apprehend it or bring it down or what have you, becomes paralyzed. And that's that magic that I was just talking about. And if they don't have, which most people don't, have the right medicine to counteract that paralysis, the person never comes back to being human again. And this scares me. I mean, I'm glad that I don't live where bears, because I would constantly be thinking about this all the time. The bear walker, he'll visit you when he picks someone out, say a target, a human being, a target. And like I said, it's up in northern Michigan. He'll visit four times, and then 4 days apart, he'll go around that victim's house or the victim's, you know, wherever the victim lives, cottage, what have you. And he'll look at the family members, and they'll see the light in the trees. They'll actually, you can actually see a bear walker's light, and it's always up in the trees. And then after the fourth visit, and this is the scary part, after he has visited four times to this family, the victim dies.
Oh,
yeah. This this scared me when I was told this. And you know, and 4 days after the victim passes, that's when the bear walker will bury that person. It's always four. Everything is four. Four, four, four. And it's really scary because the grave and the receiver part of the body that he puts into the grave, he will take the tongue or a thumb or a finger before he buries it, and that like leaves his mark for the rest of the time. That's how a person knows that a bear walker has been around. And the people, the Chippewa tribe has had dealings with this, you know, entity, this bear walker since the beginning of time. But everything that he does when he decides to pick out its victim is in fours, and which, in my opinion, would run the four sacred directions. Everything's four, you know, the four sacred directions, you know, the
four corners.
Yeah, the four corners, exactly. And you know, that's something, you know, I was talking to Robert about, you know, but you know, he said he would like to do a lot more, you know, looking into it, and you know, and I also found out that, you know, sometimes the local natives in that area that, you know, who know about the bear walker will let the word spread fast, and if the bear walker finds out that people are watching it or can see it, because native people like us are sharp and, you know, we're fast and swift, and he'll disappear for four more days. Everything to him is a four, and that really got to me, you know. And I would never have known about the bear walker unless I was told it. And Robert's father, you know, told me, I've seen a shapeshifter. I've seen a skinwalker. I've seen a bear walker. I've been around them, you know, and I know he has. And it's when he told me that, it brought chills to me. It really did, because everything he does is in fours. So it's really unusual.
That is unusual. I'm gonna research more on that and to understand it a little bit more.
Right.
But I mean, that's the first time that I had heard about a bear walker, so I find it interesting.
Bear walker. Yeah, and there, it's up in northern Michigan. Just look it up under northern Michigan. You know, I was just told that, you know, because he was sharing, you know, the experience he had with the skinwalker, you know, and not, of course, not being afraid of those things, which he's not, you know. He said, well, you know, I have never shared with you about the bear walker. And I said, bear walker, you know, I got this picture of a bear standing up on his two legs, you know. And I know people are laughing at that, but That's what I got, and I didn't say that to him because he had hung up on me. But I'm just trying to put some humor into this, you know. You know, I know how to get hung up on, so I stayed quiet, you know, and I listened, and I went, wow, you know, that really threw me. I had never known that a skinwalker had, let's say, a brother, sister, cousin in that particular family of walkers that was a bear walker, and how he picked out his target, and everything he did was in fours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, you know. And so I said, you know, that's what I was going to share with you, so you could really research this, because I know you are great researching. I swear, if the FBI or somebody, I always say that to you. I know
that if they even knew you, you know, you were here, and it, they would have you working for them in a heartbeat, because you are so great at researching. I've never seen anyone that can do what you do.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But it's very true. And for all who know Karen, you know that her researching is a blessed gift. And that's why I know that once you start researching it, you won't give up until you've found out everything, you know. So that is something that I know that you'll take a great interest in.
What does a barrel walker look like? Is there something specific that stands out, and is it just in the Michigan area?
It's up. He says it's up in the northern Michigan area, Michigan, Minnesota, near the Canadian border, and he says what gives it away is, he called it magic. He said that it lets out its parental, he called it parental. It's a good thing I remembered that word, parental magic, which in turn what he described as fire. And, and he said the way that you can see it when you're in that area up in the upper peninsula of Michigan and you can see these bear walkers is that if they're up in a tree, that's what I was saying, that they shine light from the tree. The tree lights up, and that's something that that's what gives it away, is its light.
How big are they? Are they like the size, say, Bigfoot size, or smaller?
As far as he said that they were as big as almost a grizzly, you know, and that they, you know, they can be and are, as as I said, everything's in fours, but that means that when he targets someone, you know, he circles them four times, you know, which is kind of scary to even think about, you know. So I said, I'm glad I'm in an area where there aren't any grizzlies or big, huge black bears. I mean, there are black bears, but they're not big.
Right.
You know? But it's the light. It's their light, the fire that they give off.
Wow, I find that so interesting. I'll definitely be doing some research on that.
Yeah.
I wanted to play something. And I've had this audio probably for about 2 years, maybe longer. And it's very, very funny. Now, mind you that I'm in this audio. So what you hear me doing too. When it starts out, it's going to be kind of quiet. And then it really starts kicking. So here it goes.
Okay.
And this was a paranormal. This was an investigation.
Oh.
So get ready to laugh.
Okay.
Here's walking.
Okay.
We were doing an investigation. We were told that the upstairs, and it's very old, location, it's our early 1800s, and we were told that the door in the upstairs shuts. There's a spirit in that room, and it will shut the door. Well, we had tested this door, and what happened was the guys, we did our investigation earlier in the night, we decided to split into two teams. The guys went up by themselves. And they were three of us girls, with a female guest. So you put four women in a room, and this room, this door had not moved all night long. Couldn't move it. I even pulled it. Could not move the door. So we'd done our EVP sessions, and, you know, we said, we're not getting anything. Let's just go. We're walking out the door. I had made the comment, it ain't going to do nothing anyway. And so it was two in front of me, and then myself, and then the brand new investigator. Very first investigation. The girl that was in front of me was the guest. One of our other investigators was in front of her. The girl in front of me turns and does that sound. I turned around, and the door was closing up. And it was closing up on the investigator behind me. What seemed like forever, which it's obvious on there that it wasn't that long. But I said, oh, my God. She thought somebody was behind her, so she didn't look. She starts screaming and grabs my arm.
Oh, my God.
Now, we're in the dark, so I didn't know what grabbed me. So she starts screaming. I start screaming. The girl in front of me starts screaming. The investigator that was in front of her, she's gone. When everybody starts screaming, she's gone. I mean, she just sprints.
She left.
So the loud banging that you hear at the end was...
Yeah.
Our new investigator. We got so far out, and I tried to stop because at that point I'm like, no, we got to go back. And she's telling me all this time, no, go. No, we got to go back. And I stepped out of the way. When I stepped out of the way, she went off to my right and landed in the wall.
Oh my gosh.
But nobody was hurt, but that's what happened, right. And I've had that all this time, but it was just so funny, and I wanted to share it.
Oh, that was something. That's why I said, what happened? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I think that was so neat. Thank you for sharing that. It put a big smile. You can't help but, you know. But ask, the first thing you go is, what happened? What did you? Because, you know, you could hear the screaming and everything. That's the first thing I wanted to know was. No.
That's your son. It was kind of funny because, well, see, the one girl, the guest. She didn't stop running. We stopped running. The three of us did. Well, after the one ran into the wall, and three of us are still there. The other girl takes off, and she passes the guys because the guys were outside on the porch, and they come through. They heard us, so they come running through, and she meets them on the stairways and went straight out and out the door. We never saw her again after that.
Did she get in her car and leave?
She got in her car and she left.
And she left.
We did not see her anymore, and it was just so funny because, you know, she was there, and then all of a sudden, boom, she's gone. But it scared her that bad. But that door literally closed up, and unfortunately, we had cameras, and you can see it because on the audio, you can see us come through. But the way the camera was positioned, and everybody was in front of the door, coming through in front of it. It wasn't actually caught on tape that this door closed.
Right.
But you can see it, and it's funny because everybody's there, you know, and you're walking on really quiet, you know, and then all of a sudden the dust just kicks up, and the camera's bouncing all over the place because everybody's running.
Wow.
So
that is.
I have not seen this. I've not seen that girl that ran out. It's been 2 years.
Really?
Actually, it's been a little over 2 years, and I have not seen her at all.
She never came back?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is something that she never returned.
Nope, she never returned. She ran out the door. She never called us. You know, nothing. And
wow.
From what I understand, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she actually worked at this location because there's a restaurant in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's small. It's a real quaint old hotel with, you know, the restaurant there.
Right.
And it's really pretty. So it's got a lot of old stuff in it, but it's got a lot of history to it, too.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, she quit. She quit her job there and
oh
did not
goodness.
Go back.
That must have really affected her then.
It did. It did.
Oh, my. My goodness. That, in a sense, I suppose that's not really good. I mean, you know.
In one way, it's not good. I mean, but she had told us about the door closing up and she'd be up there and the door would shut on her. So, you know, she was aware of the door doing that. I just,
yeah.
I suppose that with everybody had the reaction from everyone, that was the reason why she done what she did. But it's a great place. I like it. And hopefully we'll go back soon to it. But, yeah, that was one of our funnier caught on audio.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, and I've had that audio forever.
And
I had forgotten where I put it, and I found it the other day, and it just so happened I was lucky enough to still have it.
Well, we have had a very interesting program tonight. I hope that everybody has enjoyed
oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Come on.
the football game is on. But he really, his intelligence in those areas, you know, I've always wanted him to get in touch with George Sugalow because I believe that he would, you know. Okay. Well, this show's still on.
Adam wanted me to watch the third quarter with him.
Okay.
So I'll be back.
All right. Stay in touch with me, son.
I'll get my phone on.
I'm sorry, everybody.
it just shows just how human we are. You know, we always have something going on here. I mean, my daughter came in earlier and was kind of complaining about something, but I'm not sure what it was. So, it gets kind of interesting sometimes. Of course, I think you heard my dog bark.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very, very nice evening, and as always, you know, I enjoy, you know, being with you on your program, and honored to be, you know, your co-host, and it will always remain that way. And I thank you for having my son express, you know, his what he knows of the American Indian entities and the things that that tribes don't talk about it inside the reservations. And I thank you for letting him, you know, he enjoyed expressing, you know, what he knows about it and so on. And he'll keep on until he finds more about it, especially in the Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely going to make me do a lot more research and see what else I can come up with, you know, that we can discuss later. You know, as far as some of the legends and folklore, the bear walker is of interest. So I'm gonna see what more information I can find out next week.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say even get in touch with the Chippewa. You know,
I may very well do that.
Yeah.
And have someone come on and explain it to us in depth.
Right. Now, you said next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
We will not be airing on Friday. Friday is my daughter's birthday.
Oh.
So we are going to be out of town on Friday.
Uh-huh.
But Saturday, we'll run about an hour show on Saturday evening. So we're probably around 8 p.m. Saturday.
Okay.
And then just have a nice little conversation. And then on the 12th, we may be doing something special. So, well, I'm pretty sure we will be. It'll be for another birthday. So, I will announce that later in the week once it's everything is put together and planned.
Okay. Well,
so,
Well, I thank everybody for listening to Robert again. Thank you for your interest or patience, and one of you, I'll add the patience in.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen, thank you for having them. And that's right, Sarah's birthday is September 2nd, the same day as my brother's.
Hey, yeah. Well, you can wish him a happy birthday for us, and I will call you a little bit later after the show. I think if you're ready, we will just end the show and wish everybody a great evening and a great weekend.
Thank you, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good
See
night.
You next week.
Okay. Good night.
Well, I don't know how many times he taught her a lesson that she learned. Maybe a little too well, cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you in time. Soon enough, you're gonna know why. It's gonna babies. He started coming home late at night. She didn't let him see it break her heart. She didn't let him see her fall apart. 'Cause cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you in time. Soon enough, come home. This is it. I think he's dying. She laid the phone down by his head. The last words that he said, cowgirl, don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life, sure, it's all in time. Too soon, gotta let you know.